This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto yet another edition of the Kona Edge. Don't forget, if you haven't left us a review or a rating on iTunes, we'd appreciate it hugely. It helps us get in front of more people, and the numbers of the podcast are growing really nicely, and that's just because of those ratings and reviews. So, yeah, if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would appreciate it hugely. Let's head back to Brisbane in Australia now to catch up with Jared Harvey. Jared, welcome back. Nice to chat again.
Thanks, Brad. Glad to be back.
Jared, I'm amazed. In our first chat, you mentioned that you only really started swimming properly when you were in your early 20s. And I thought all Australian kids were almost born in water, that they all swim fantastically well. I mean, we've seen what the Aussies do at the Olympics. They clean up everything. But you were a slow starter when it came to swimming.
Yeah, I lived out in a little town called Boona, which is 45 minutes west of Ipswich, so like an hour and a half out of Brisbane. And our pool was only open probably 4 months of the year. It wasn't heated. So yeah, a large majority of the year I didn't have access to a pool. So I kind of grew up on the land and not in the water, which is strange for an Australian boy.
Yeah, it is weird. But have you found that it's come a bit easier as you've gotten older, or is it something that you've had to really struggle with?
I really struggled with it until, I did triathlons like through school, stopped them about 18, 19, and then played some AFL. And funnily enough, I put on a lot of upper body muscle during that time doing AFL. And when I came back to swimming, I could just swim good. yeah, so whether it was just that underlying muscle or just, you know, using it in a different way for a couple of years. But when I came back, I was never exiting the water in the front, but, you know, as a teenager, I was always last out of the water. Yeah, when I came back in my mid-20s, I was kind of coming out mid-pack. So I wasn't complaining about that.
Well, let's just put it out there. You're not a terrible swimmer. You look at Kona 2016, you swam a 53, so you must have some ability. I mean, nobody who's an absolute mug in the water is going to go and swim a 53.
Yeah. It's something that I've worked on, and when I came back to triathlon and I was suddenly swimming okay, I saw it as an opportunity to get away from what was happening previously in my juniors. In my juniors, I was left with always one option, that was to bike my legs off and then run as hard as I could because I was such a terrible swimmer. But swimming a little bit better in my 20s, opened up a little bit more tactics-wise. So, I decided to kind of work my swim more than I would normally, try and get it to a point where I was getting out of the water at least on a bad day mid-pack, but hopefully front pack or, you know, maybe at the start of a second pack.
Mm. Jared, as far as your swim training over the years, is there one or two things that you can think of that you've done that you think has given you or helped your swim in the water? And I'm taking AFL will be one of them, but I don't think all triathletes can go and do a couple of seasons of Aussie rules football. But tell us what the secret is.
Yeah, for me previously, I always found swimming, and heaps of people probably find this same thing, as really, really boring, straight up and down. So I'm actually pretty lucky out at Ipswich. There's a school, Ipswich Grammar, and it has really good swimmers. And one of the coaches there, Greg Pasala, is actually a former Olympic gold medalist. So I kind of, being a teacher myself, I kind of swallowed my pride for a bit and got back in the water with the 16 and 17-year-old boys from Ipswich Grammar, and they were fast. You know, I would be absolutely flat out just keeping up with their warm-up. So if I could chime in with their sessions, I was finding that the improvements were coming really, really fast, and they were doing big sessions and big kilometres per week. So I really tried to focus on, when I was swimming, trying to, you know, be like a swimmer, not think of myself as a triathlete that was trying to swim fast, but just do the sets they were doing. They were obviously doing lots of butterfly and lots of drills for a reason. So I kind of just embraced, you know, their squad culture there. And, it's something that I still go often now. If I want a really hard set, I'll go to that squad now.
Brilliant. As far as there was obviously lots of volume. You were, like you say, you swim like a swimmer, not like a triathlete trying to swim. But as far as technique goes, were you getting some work with the coach as well on your technique and some of the things you were doing right and wrong in the water?
Yeah, so previously I wasn't getting nearly as much rotation as I should be through the water, and my catch was pretty horrid. So, you know, we worked on a couple of things in terms of just getting that front end of my stroke a little bit better. And then I'm actually lucky enough to be sponsored by a Pilates group. So we really worked on my obliques and just trying to maintain my core. I was a little bit snaky through the water, so kind of weaving my way up the pool rather than being nice and solid through the core and rotating around that. So, we did a lot of that sort of stuff, which, you know, has worked well. Swimming okay at the moment, so, yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned the Pilates, because I think a lot of triathletes, again, it comes around to that the scheduling, and you've got three disciplines to train for, and it's so much. So they almost neglect strength and conditioning, and it does play such a vital role that you almost, I don't want to say it, but you almost want to write those sessions in first. And it's not like you're doing 10 of those sessions a week. One or two will really help you sort of, like you say, I mean, just on the swim, it straightens up your core and gets you swimming a lot better.
Yeah, that's right. There's two sessions of a week that I pretty well refuse to miss. And one of them is gym and the other one is Pilates. And it's at the point now where I will go in and book my Pilates, and then I'll make my other training fit around that. I had a period there where I just couldn't get injury free. And we got the issue sorted, and I've been going to Pilates once, if I can, twice a week, for about the last 8 months, and touch wood, I haven't had an injury. So I'm a massive, massive believer in it.
Yeah, I think it's very, very underrated personally. And I'm guilty of exactly that as well. It's when you get busy, those tend to be the sessions you think are okay to skip. But in essence, you shouldn't be. Jared, as far as your favorite swim workout, what do you love doing in the water?
Yeah, I mean, it's taken me a while to get to a set like this, but a set that I've done a couple times in the build up to races is 10 100s on 125, so leaving on a 125 cycle would be my favourite at the moment. If I can get through that set, I'm swimming well. So for me that's a key set. And I mean, if you asked me that 18 months ago, that set would have been 10 100s leaving on 135, and I would have set up swimming well. So that's what I like about that. It's a very basic set. I mean, like it's only a part of a set, but a section of the main being 10 ones on a time cycle that we can continually move on, I think is a really good set. It's a really good gauge, and it's also good for people's mental state as well. Like if I look back, you know, 18 months ago, if I could do 10 ones on 135, I'd be absolutely stoked. So it's, you know, it's a stable set that gives you a guide to look back on. And
It's cool to gauge. It's like a confidence boost almost. And you can go run a time trial, or you can go ride a time trial, for example. But the conditions are never going to be exactly the same when you're out on the road. But in the pool, nothing changes. That's what it is. And there's nowhere to hide. And if you're taking 10 seconds off your hundreds in a case like that over the space of a year, you're definitely seeing some big improvements.
Yeah, and that's right. I really like that set because, you know, there's times where I've tried to do that set where I thought I was ready, and I get to rep 5 or 6 and I miss the cycle. And then, you know, you'll do it 2 months later and you get to 8 or 9, and then, you know, you get to 10 finally. It kind of just, you know you're improving, but it's nice to actually see it on a piece of paper that, you know now that you can do 10 ones on, you know, whatever the cycle is. And then, you know, in 6 months' time, you just think, well, that might be, you know, 3 or 4 seconds less or 5 seconds less. And I think it's just a nice feeling there. It's a very basic set, but I think it'll work you hard if you set a nice time and, yeah, gives you something to shoot for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it matters what the time is. So if somebody's listening to this and their goal would be 100s in 210, as an example, or 150s. Yeah. That's what it is. So I think that is awesome. Jared, thank you so much for sharing that with us today. Looking forward to catching up on your bike next time out, but we'll save that for next time.
So easy. Thanks, mate.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. If you want to improve your swim, be sure to check out our next free live online swim seminar. Get to thekonaedge.com/swimseminar to sign up now.